Good morning.
Good.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this wonderful Lord's Day that the Lord has truly blessed us with on today. I want you to get your Bibles out today. Before I begin, I do want to make a point to you as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a worker needed not to be ashamed, but we rightly handle the word of truth, that you may prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And I want you to open your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 4. If you're there, I want you to write the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and verse number 1. All right? The book of Acts, chapter 12, and verse number 4. And if you're there, if you got your Bible, I want you to write. Number one. And the reason why I want you to do that, because in Acts 12, 4, very quickly, that word Easter is only found one time in the New Testament. And that's found in the book of Acts, chapter 12, and verse number 4. And that Septuagint Greek word is translated Passover. So if you got your Bible, Exodus 12, 4, where you see that word Easter, King James Version, just write the word Passover. And you're going to go back to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. It's Exodus 12, Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. And you're going to denote Exodus 12 and verse number 1. That is where you see whereby God had put 10 plagues on the children of Israel. And the final plague was to be the death of every firstborn. But he told them, paraphrasing, he said, what I want you to do, it's kill a lamb, an innocent lamb without blemish. And what I want you to do is take the blood and put it on the side post and the top post. And at midnight, when the death angel came by and saw the blood, that he would pass over them. He would pass over them. So he told them, I want you to keep this as a memorial, as a remembrance once a year, to remember how I passed over you when you came in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's the reason why Acts 20 and 7, every first day of the week, we come together to memorialize, to proclaim, and to commune together as a memorial to remember how we were passed over by Jesus when he died on the cross. He was our Lamb of God who came into the world to seek and save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. So I'm like Brother John, we don't wait once a year to celebrate the Passover, amen. But we celebrate it every first day of the week, amen. In accordance to the command and example that we have in Acts 20 and verse 7, Matthew 26, when he said that I would not drink it anew with you again until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom, that is the church of Christ, when it began, Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, 42, where it talked about, and they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and a fellowship and a breaking of bread. So, in summation, what did I say? Number one, you should denote Acts 12, 4, underline the word Easter, and denote that back to Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 1. Especially verse 24 and verse 27. Also, you want to know Acts 20 and 7. You want to know Matthew 26 and 26 as to when the institution of the Lord's Supper began on the day of Pentecost. That is the day that the Church of Christ began in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. So let's begin our study together. We got time moving on. And let's begin our last part of the series where we've been studying what is acceptable worship. What is acceptable worship? And the last one we're going to talk about, why do we preach and teach in worship? That is 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. Now let's review very quickly. We already talked about singing, why we sing. We sing because we make melody in our hearts to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19. That is Colossians 3:16. That is, we teach and admonish one another. Amen. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 14:15, we sing with the spirit and we sing with the understanding. James 5:13, that we may have joy. Amen. That we may have joy. Amen. In relationship to what is acceptable music in our worship service. We also partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Acts 20:7. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Why do we do it? We do it as a memorial. We do it to proclaim our faith. Or we do it to commune together. The word commune together means that we partake. We participate. We share together. As Christians, watch this, church. 1 Corinthians 11, that is when the whole church come together in one place. The whole church come together in one place to worship God in spirit and in truth. We commune. We participate. We share. Amen. As we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection, we give or we lay by in store. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. And when we lay by in store, we don't do it out of necessity. We don't do it grudgingly. We do it because we love the Lord. Amen. You just can't beat God's giving. Amen. God is mighty good. Am I right? And then we pray because the Bible teaches us to pray without ceasing. So the last one that we should know is this here. Why do we preach and teach in our worship service? Now, let's go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. And let's read our text here together. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. And that's going to be our leading scripture today. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. We'll start at verse number 1, but go to verse 2. All right? It says here, if you're there, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and beginning in verse 1, he said, now the Spirit, and then I know where Spirit, amen, that's that comfort of John 14:26, am I right? Speaking expressly that in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith. Now, if you got your Bible, underline the faith. If you're there, write Ephesians 4:3 and 4:4, that is only one faith, one Lord, one baptism. The faith means only one faith. The faith is one spirit, amen, of Ephesians 4:4, that is that one faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having a conscience seared with a hot iron. So the question, why do we preach and teach? Number one, that is to preach the word, to be ready in season, out of season, to convince, rebuke, to exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Romans 1 chapter 15, it says, so as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And again, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, the Bible said, Paul said, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Romans 10:14. He said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how then should they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then 1 Corinthians 1:18 is that for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Romans 1:16. So look what it says here. Preaching has its place in the Lord's church, and preaching is in our worship service. Why? Because John 17:17, sanctify them by thy word, thy word is truth. Number one, what should we preach? We should preach truth. Amen. Because it's truth that saves us. Amen. We are to preach the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:1, because the gospel is truth. Amen. What is the gospel? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:1, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is truth. And the truth is guided by that one spirit. Now I'm going to slow it down a little bit because I want to make you think. Well, how can the gospel be the death, burial, and the resurrection, and it is truth, when you're not in truth? Do you hear what I'm saying? That's the reason why when we preach, we are sanctified by that word. That word sanctified means we are set apart from darkness to light, because truth will put you in the light. as he is in the light, that when we preach the glorious gospel, because Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, woe is me if I do not preach what? The gospel. We ought to preach the gospel because the gospel is true. Look at Revelation 22, 18, 19. The Bible said we ought to preach what the Bible contains without adding to or taking away from God's word. Amen. John 14, 26. Amen. John 15, 26. John 16, 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. James 1, 25. The Bible said that those books leads us to the what? The gospel. And brethren, guess what? You can't add to, not take away from God's word. And let me tell you something. It's at the beginning of the Bible, and at the middle of the Bible, and at the end of the Bible. Deuteronomy 4, 2, Proverbs 13, 6, Revelation 22, 18, 19. Guess what? It's in the 66 books of the Bible that warns us not to add to, not take away from God's word. And then we are to preach by writing and dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, stand and show yourself approved unto God, a worker needing not to be ashamed, but we rightly divide the word of truth. But guess what, brethren? You can't divide the word of God if you don't know what truth is. Amen. You can't divide the word of God if you don't preach the gospel. You can't divide the word of God if you add to or take away from God's word. We must be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And then finally, over 2 Thessalonians 5:21, we are to preach to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. Now, didn't I not prove why we sing? Did I not prove why we lay by the store if we prosper? Did I not prove why we celebrate the death, burial, and the resurrection every first of the week? Did I not prove why we pray? Am I not proving why we must be able to preach and teach and worship? Have I not proved to you what the word Easter? I didn't give me tell you what I thought it mean. I went back to the word of God and gave you scripture. Amen. That is, be able to prove and test what the word of God says. Because guess what? John 12, 48, we're going to be judged by it. Amen. Open your Bible to the book of John chapter 12, verse 48 right quick. In the book of John chapter 12 and verse number 48. See, that's the reason why. That's the reason why we must preach the truth. We must preach the gospel. We can't add to it or take away. We can't write divide. We got to be able to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. In the book of John chapter 12 and about verse 48, the Bible says, if you're there, I'll wait till you get there. It says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judge him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge us in the last days. So we're going to be judged by the word in the last day. And if you're there, you might want to write Revelation 20 and 12. Read by that. All right? If you're going to be judged by the word, don't it make sense that it must be truth? That it must be the gospel? That you not add to, not take away from God's word? That you must be able to write about it, and that you must be able to put it to test. I tell people all the time, well, you got a right to believe whatever you want to believe, but can you prove it? Amen? Don't sit and repeat something that is not in the book. Amen? That's the reason why you're here this morning. You're here this morning to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. You're here to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, so when we are to preach, we are to preach to the fullness of the glory of God and his abundant love for his creation. Anything that is not truth should not be preached. Anything that can't be proven shouldn't be preached. If it can't be right and divided, it can't be true. It can't be what? Preach. If it has been added to or taken away, it can't be true. Preach. Everything that is true should be preached. And that's the reason why every Lord's Day we preach and we teach as one of the five items of worship. And let me tell you something. I've seen people come, take the Lord's Supper, and they give, amen, and they pray, and they get up and walk out and don't preach. Well, when you miss the preaching, your worship is in vain. Because you got to do all five items of worship. You can't do four. You can't do three. You can't do four and a half. You got to do all five worship to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, let's go to page number two. Here we go. Page number two. Preaching that is ever and always ready. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy 4:2. And I want you to see what I'm talking about. 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And I want you to see what I'm talking about. In the book of 2 Timothy 4, and beginning in verse 1, I want you to see. Because, see, we got to be ready, amen, in season and out of season. Amen. One who has given a degree of preparation and study that shows one who have attention to reading and to the doctrine, or one who has been diligent in their learning, that is, to be ready in season and out of season. That's what that means. That you as a Christian, you're here today, and it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility. It's just not the preacher's responsibility to be ready in season and out of season. It's all of our responsibility to be ready to give an answer or prove all things, or to be ready to test the spirit in all of us to be Christian. That is, one, to be ready to be prepared because he has studied, or one, to be ready to pay attention based on his reading and doctrine, or one who has been diligent in his learning. See, that's what he's talking about. Preaching that is ready on all occasions, simply mean in season, that is, when the opportunity occurs. See, you never know when you got to stand up for Jesus. Amen. Amen. See, you just never know when you got to be ready to give a book, chapter, and verse. Amen. To be able to be the light. Amen. To be the salt of the earth. So in season, man, whenever the opportunity occurs. Out of season, that is, that sometimes we seek opportunity to preach the word. Amen. By being seed bearers. 1 Corinthians 3:6, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. But look at the wording here in relationship to verse number two. That is, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, to reprove or convince. That word reprove, convince means, 2 Timothy 4:2, it means to correct. See, to be able to correct. That is, like Paul, he said, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Amen. That's our responsibility, to reprove and correct. Well, number one, how you can prove and how you can correct, number one, where you need correcting yourself. Why? Because you have not prepared yourself. Why? Because you have not paid attention to reading and doctrine. Why? Because you're not diligent in your learning. That you are able to be able to reprove or convince. The second word that he used there in 2 Timothy 4:2, that is that you must be able to rebuke. Rebuke simply means to admonish. Admonish or charge sharply. Titus 2:15, it says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Look at the wording here. You speak, you exhort, you rebuke, you admonish, you charge sharply. How you do it? With authority, Matthew 28:19-20. Amen. Amen. But see, you can't convince or you can't rebuke if you're not what? Prepared. If you're not attentive in your reading and study, if you're not diligent in your learning. See, it's all our responsibility. That's the reason why you're here. That's the reason why I'm teaching. I'm teaching so we can learn how to convince and rebuke and that we may exhort one another. That means to encourage or strengthen one another. Amen. But sometimes we get weak. Amen. Sometimes we get discouraged. Amen. But we need to be lifted up. Amen. We need to be encouraged. Amen. And then he said we must preach with all long suffering. 2 Timothy 4:2. That means that we need to be patient, forbearing, slowness, avenging wrong. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See, that's the reason why we need to teach. That's the reason why we need to preach. Not because Brother Lyle, no, he preached today. Brother Lyle, no, he preached a good sermon. Well, what was a good sermon? What am I preaching when we are not using it to prepare ourselves to be attentive in our reading, that is to be diligent in our learning, so that we can be able to convince, rebuke, exhort, and be long-suffering. Amen? That's the reason why you are here. And that's the reason why we preach. And that's the reason why you teach. Now, you can call it negative preaching. You can call it any way you want it. But as long as it comes from God's word, it's all right with me. Amen? In relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. And then the last thing he talked about preaching that is doctrinal. See, not only must it be to convince and rebuke and exhort and to have long suffering, but look what he says here in 2 Timothy 4:3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So teaching must be doctrinal. Instructions which are taught concerning something in a way that is instructive, that is teaching and in agreement with the word of God. Amen? See, that's what we need to do. See, that's the reason why we teach and preach. To convince, to reprove, to exhort, to be long-suffering, and that it all must be doctrinal in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Now, let's look at preaching that displeases God. All right? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's healthy doctrine. That's stuff that can be proved. That can be tested. Doctrine contributing to the health of your soul's salvation. That is, if you're here today and you don't get nothing from your teaching, from this teaching, it's not going to help you. Amen. You're here for a reason. That's why we worship God in spirit and in truth. That's why we cut all the foolishness out. Amen. And do it just the way the Bible tells us to do. We sing, make melody in our heart to the Lord. Why? So we can teach and admonish. Why? So we can sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding, so that we can have joy. We memorialize, we proclaim. See, why? Why do we memorialize and proclaim? So we can commune. We lay by in store. Not out of necessity. Not grudgingly. We pray with our season. See, we do all this here because we want to be spiritually healthy. Amen? Amen? That's what the word of God is for. To make us spiritual healthy. Healthy. But the time in which Paul already warned Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4:1-2, people will get heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, I'm going to slow it down, and I want you to underline that. See, I want you to underline verse 3 of 1 Timothy 4. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So he warned that in the last days that people will get heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and will people will become lovers of self and pleasure, amen, and that they will want to hear things according to their own desires that justify their sinful behavior rather than rebuking them for their behavior. See, what you want me to do is preach to you to satisfy you. But I'm not here to preach to you to satisfy you. I'm here for us to grow so we can rebuke, so we can correct, so we can exhort, so we can be long-suffering, because it got to be by doctrine. Amen. Amen. See, people say, well, you still don't have an alibi? He preached too hard. Well, that's all right. See, going to the doctor, sometimes we don't like to go. Amen. Taking medicine sometimes ain't what you want to do, amen. But you do it in order to be well healthy, amen. And that's the same thing what we do. We do this here to correct behavior, not justify behavior. Amen. I'm going to call it just the way it is, amen. If the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that homosexuality is abomination, that's what I'm going to say. Amen. I can't say it no other way, amen. Am I right? See, why? Because we try to correct behavior, we try to justify or when guilty of things contrary to sound doctrine. See, that's bad preaching. Or not being told things that are unhealthy to their soul. Or the last thing, we're not here to preach to entertain you. Look what the Bible says over 2 Timothy 4:3. People that have itching ears. You know what itching ears is? Learn to have their ears scratched and tickled with smooth things that are pleasing and agreeable to the natural man. That natural man is the worldly man, or carnal minded. Amen. See, oh, what a wonderful lesson. But it has nothing to do with correcting you. They have nothing to do with rebuking you. They have nothing to do to teach you. They have nothing to do with long-suffering or doctrine. But it's something that you want to hear in order to please your self-will. Itching ears, that's what we're talking about. That is endless curiosity, which is an insatiable desire for variety. Guess what, y'all? That's the reason why there's over 1,000 different denominations. Amen. Because see, you go where please your itching ears, amen. See, you want to go where they jumping up and acting crazy, amen. You leave sweaty, but you ain't leave prepared, amen. And that's no good, amen. And that's the problem, that is, that they will heap for themselves teachers, that is, there will be plenty of teachers to accommodate them, because Paul said men will arise among your own self, speaking perverse things, to draw disciples after them, and that's the sad result of such preaching. Amen. And you don't want that. Because that kind of preaching make your worship in vain. Amen. Because it's not done for the right way. Well, why do we preach? We preach to what? Convince or reprove. We preach to rebuke. We preach to exhort. We preach for long suffering. We preach for doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We teach so you can be prepared. We teach so you can be learned. You teach so you can be diligent. Amen. Because guess what? When you leave here, you by yourself. Amen. And you need teaching and preaching of the other five hours of worship, if all of we're going to be able to preach and worship God in spirit and in truth. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. Amen. That I belong to a congregation where people love truth, love the gospel, don't add to, not take away from God's word, can rightly divide God's word. Amen. Amen. Simply because it is the gospel. If you're here today and you need to respond to the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you're here today, you want to be saved today, we can baptize you today, because the Bible said baptism does also now save us. You come by hearing the word, Romans 10:17, to the point you believe what you hear. You must make that confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you must repent, and then you must be buried with him in the water grave of baptism. And if you're here, you need to respond. Come right now as we stand there, we sing.